The sentencing of 8 Shiite activists in Bahrain, a Sunni-ruled country, as well as the detention of thousands of protesters during the course of the Arab Spring uprisings, raises the question of what recourse political prisoners have in countries that do not guarantee due process. For answers, we turn to Jared Genzer. He is the president of Freedom Now, an organization that works to free political prisoners around the world. Genzer has served as international counsel to high-profile political prisoners such as Aung San Suu Kyi of Burma and Liu Xiaobo of China, both Nobel Peace laureates. His organization is also representing Abdul Hadi al-Khawaja, the Bahrainian human rights activist we just spoke about. Jared Genzer joins us now in our studios here in Washington. Jared, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Coming on. We just heard from al-Khawaja's daughter, Mariam. What peculiar challenges does a case like that present?
Well, clearly, the government of Bahrain is under serious threat. It's a Sunni minority ruling a Shia majority. Al-Khawaja is one of the leaders of the opposition forces in the country and is a strong human rights defender and has been for decades. And the protests that he helped organize have shown a major threat to the rule of the Sunni minority. And as a result, they need to not only silence him, but get him out of off their streets to protect their own rule. And they've done so with brutal force, not only against the protesters in the country, but against him personally. Mariam didn't have time to talk about it. But, for example, when her father was arrested, they beat him into a pulp in his house and then dragged him down the stairs by his neck when he was unconscious. And after shouting in the courtroom, as he did, that the protests will continue and that he will prevail, he was beaten up extensively in prison within 24 hours of his actually being sentenced.
Well, my question really goes more to what is it like trying to defend someone like that in court in that particular country?
Sure. Well, this was a military trial. There is not due process of law. There's not an independent and impartial tribunal assessing the evidence. There was no evidence that we're aware of that was presented against him to claim that he was, inciting violence or collaborating with Iran, which is among the other charges that he was that were put against him. And so if you're a domestic lawyer in Bahrain trying to defend someone against these charges, the deck is stacked against you. The odds of your prevailing is slim to none, probably close to none. So there really isn't much that a domestic lawyer can do.
Now, when you handle these cases internationally, which you have done a number of times, I'm assuming that they would differ from nation to nation, and that trying to represent a dissident in Bahrain, for example, might be different than trying to do that in China.
Sure.
Or in Syria. Where is the most difficult place to represent?
Well, I mean, it goes from bad to worse when you look at repressive governments. I think that countries that are not susceptible to international pressure will make it much more challenging to secure the release of political prisoners. On the far end of extreme, you'd have a place like a North Korea. That is clearly an outlier in terms of the difficulty. China is very challenging, of course, because it's strong politically and economically and will strongly resist international pressure. But its interdependence with the world economically provides opportunities to continue to press them on those kinds of issues. Bahrain should be a place where we can put pressure on the government to abide by its international human rights commitments. The U.S. presence there of the Fifth Fleet provides a point of leverage on the one hand. And on the other hand, the United States wants to maintain its presence and is probably of two minds when it comes to these things. On the one hand, it wants to maintain its strong alliance with Bahrain, given the importance of the region. But on the other hand, it can't stand idly by while people are being gunned down on the streets and say nothing.
Does it make a difference, the nationality of the defendant?
No, I mean, it definitely helps if it's an American detained for political reasons. We represented a Burmese-American, Nini Ong, who was in prison in Burma when he went back to try to see his mother, who herself was a political prisoner in the country and is dying of cancer in prison without treatment. And the State Department has a lot more leverage when it comes to a U.S. Citizen, ultimately. And you can get the U.S. Congress engaged much more on the case of an American citizen. But practically speaking, if a person is being detained for exercising their fundamental freedoms, most of the world tends to be pretty sympathetic and wanting to help. And it's a matter of combining the right set of legal, political, and public relations advocacy efforts in order to try to secure their release.
You have talked before about a three-pronged approach to mounting a defense. publicity, pressure from the U.S. are two parts of it. What's the third part?
We look at legal advocacy, and we work through international tribunals, whether it be regional human rights courts that have binding authority like the European Court of Human Rights or the Inter-American Court and Commission on Human Rights. We also look to a body at the UN called the UN Working Group on Arbitrary Detention. It's a little-known body of independent experts that looks at these kinds of cases and issues opinions, and it's a process where you go back and forth with the government detaining the person. By themselves, they're not really worth the paper they're printed on in the sense that there's no enforcement mechanism. But what we found is that if you get the United Nations to say a person's being held illegally, that you can combine political and public relations pressure with that kind of an opinion to gain additional support from the international community and to push a government to do the right thing.
You cannot turn on the news. You cannot open a newspaper without reading or seeing or hearing about some dissident being held and being tried fairly or unfairly at some distant court. Are we in a situation, in your opinion, where those kinds of matters are becoming more commonplace rather than less?
You know, you'd like to see the trend moving in the right direction. I think that with the Arab Spring, we've seen an increase of repression because of the fear of the governments that are under threat by the nonviolent protesters in all these countries around the world. I think arbitrary detention will continue to be a tool of repressive governments that seek to silence people and to silence ideas. But ultimately, I think that we have to remain vigilant because without human rights defenders able to do their jobs on the ground in these countries, speaking for their own populace, we're not going to see the kind of changes that we'd like to see come about in these countries.
Jared Genzer is the president of Freedom Now, an organization that works to free political prisoners around the world. He joined us from our NPR studios here in Washington. Thank you very much.
Thank you.